And today we're going to talk about always be ready for Jesus. Yeah, we live in a different time than the disciples. We don't expect Jesus to just randomly show up physically anymore. And we have the Holy Spirit and God's presence with us all the time. And we don't have to worry about Him going away and coming back, of course. But sometimes I critique my own prayers because I often pray that the Lord will be with so-and-so. I heard myself doing it this morning. But in reality, I know that He's already with them. It's not like God just stops being with someone. He's omnipresent. He's already there. But in the days after Jesus' resurrection, it wasn't like that. Jesus would show up randomly, and then He would pop back out of their lives again. So if you're thinking critically, you might look at my title and be thinking, well, Jesus is always with us, so why do we need to be ready for Him because He's already here? Good question, but what I want you to take in today is not that Jesus shows up and disappears from our lives like He does in the text today, but we do must always be ready for the opportunities that He gives us to serve Him. See, we're blessed to live in an age when the Spirit of God is with us every moment of the day. He doesn't come and go. He's always with us. And that is a praise. But we do need to prepare ourselves to work on His schedule. And sometimes we say He shows up, or maybe we say, but really what we mean is that sometimes there are just extra special interactions with Him, right? I mean, there are times when it's just like, man, you feel it all the way down in your heart, and it's a little bit deeper. And I can think of several times in my life where I was going about my business and just had a very special interaction with my Lord. And I talk to Him every day. I read my Bible every day, so I hear His Word every day. But some days are just extra special. And then there are some days that I met with Jesus, and man, that moment changed the rest of my life forever. Like, it, because of what happened at that moment, like, things really changed. They altered my perspective. And I'm guessing today's message from John 21 was one of those moments for the disciples. Expect Jesus to be present with you every day, but seek Him expectantly and enjoy the special days when you find Him and it just feels a little bit closer. All right, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 21, 1 through 14. And this is the last chapter in John. We're not quite going to finish it today. But we're going to soon be wrapping up this series. It says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of His disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to Him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered Him, no. And He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask Him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed Himself to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. Always be ready for Jesus, because Jesus shows up at random times. And disciples, though, here's what we have to understand, disciples congregate. That's what disciples do. Disciples get together with other disciples. It's somewhat simple and complex at the same time, but we understand how this works. God is omnipresent. He's with us all the time, but there are just certain moments that we use the words like, He showed up, or God was with me in that moment. Of course He was. It's not that He leaves us to fend for ourselves in the other moments, but there's times that we are just more aware of His presence than others. And those times are pretty special. So what do you do in those times when you're not having those spiritual high moments? Let's look at the disciples and see what they did when they were just waiting for Jesus to do something. I mean, they just, you know, he said he'd be around and he said he'd meet up with them again. And who knows how many days have gone by that they haven't seen him again. The first thing they did was congregate. And there was godly men. And this is what they did. They went fishing. I really like this text. This is one of my favorites. There really is something about fishing, whether with a net, a rod and reel, dynamite, you know, there's just something about fishing, you know. It brings a certain sense of anticipation and excitement as to what might I get to see come up out of that water. This past week I got a one-day license while we were in South Dakota and took the kids out fishing in Rapid Creek, and Adley was the only one to catch anything, but you know what, it didn't even matter. The quiet, the calm, nothing but the sound of rushing water by your feet, like it was just peaceful. There's something calming about fishing for me, you know? And we did a lot in this vacation. Sometimes we do less, but we had a lot we wanted to see, yet we still needed some time to just go fish. It's a great time to watch the hand of our Creator at work and think peacefully. Unless, of course, you're using dynamite, then it's not so peaceful. But we didn't. We just stuck with rods and reels and legal bait. Seven of the disciples, though, they jump in the boat and they go fishing with Peter, right? And when you're waiting for God to move and do something on your behalf, we have to keep going about our life, don't we? Like, we really want to see God work before we walk out the door. But sometimes we just got to carry on with our day. And He will show up when He wants to show up. See, Jesus tends to do that when we're not necessarily expecting it. Just like He did for the disciples in this moment. They waited. They did what they were told. And then they waited some more, not knowing what else to do. They decided, let's just go fishing. I can relate to that very well. There's times I thought, surely God's going to show up in this moment. No burning bushes, no, you know, talking fish or anything. You know, just like nothing happens. And then you get a little call out of nowhere or a note in the mail from someone you weren't expecting. He's like, man, what a blessing. God still cares. Notice they did it together, though. They went out as a group as they waited. One of the saddest things that I see when people, when I see that people need to hear from the Lord is sometimes they just, well, I just won't go to church anymore. I'm done with church. They avoid being around other Christians. We need one another. We draw strength from one another. We support one another. If we're obeying Jesus, we are loving one another. We might need some time to ourselves, but it says in Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we fail to spend our time around other Christians, other believers, bad things happen. It's like one of those nature shows. You probably watched some National Geographic at some point in your life, and the lioness peers out across the grass and finds a gazelle. The first goal of that lioness is not to take the gazelle down. The first goal is to separate it from the rest of the herd. That's what they seek to do. They try to break it away from the rest of the herd. And when they break it away from the rest of the herd, the lion has a much better chance at a really good warm dinner. When they get separate, it's a lot easier to take them down. Christians really aren't so different. The church was related to sheep. It's a herd animal, right? The best chance sheep have of surviving is to stay part of the herd and to have a good shepherd. Disciples are still hurting. They were still confused, and they saw all that happened to Jesus. And He's here sometimes. Sometimes He's not. I mean, it comes and goes. And hey, you know, they're trying to figure out how this is going to work from here moving forward. But the one thing they did really, really well is disciples stayed together. Disciples get set up for miracles. After fishing all night, they didn't catch anything. There was a guy standing on the shore. They don't know who it is. They're busy with their own tasks at the moment. But when you're fishing, you're not normally looking around at everything else. You know, you're focused on fishing. At least I am. Well, being together, having Jesus on the shoreline, which they don't know yet, but they're in a really good spot to receive a miracle. And somewhere, sometimes we're in a position to see a miracle, and sometimes we don't know we're in that position either. We might not even be asking for one. Were they asking for a miracle? No. They're just going about the day fishing. But some days they're going to show up. So when a miracle comes along in these situations, it's not because of our deep faith. Sometimes it's because Jesus just wants to minister to us. And one of the best places to find these blessings is by spending time with other believers. Jesus calls out to them, "Children, have you any food?" It's an interesting way to start a conversation with a bunch of grown men, isn't it? Jesus is talking to a boat full of grown men. There's probably some variety in their ages, but the Greek word that Jesus uses here definitely relates to like young children. Hey, children. Some versions treat it a little bit different by saying friends, fellows, or men, but the Greek word, pretty much every time we see it used in the New Testament, is saying little children. Not just children, but like little children. I doubt the boys in the boat were flattered by the reference, especially not knowing who was saying it, but it got their attention, right? Maybe that's all it was there for, get their attention. Jesus asked them if they had any food. Perhaps they thought that Jesus was looking for a handout. Maybe they saw a potential sale if they could just catch a fish, you know? It's hard to know what the disciples were thinking at this point, but maybe they're just annoyed that some stranger called them children, thinking it was some old coot just strolling the shoreline being nosy. Who knows? What happens here isn't as important as what is about to happen. It's kind of a setup. And I would imagine Jesus already knew they didn't catch anything. He already knew they didn't have any food. He likely knew they didn't have any fish in the boat. But they're in a prime position to see a miracle because of that. And realize it's Jesus standing on the shore. They don't know that yet. But as we look at this picture, we know who it is, and so we know that there must be a miracle coming. Sometimes when everything is going wrong, our lives seem to be falling apart, we forget, or we don't recognize Jesus standing on the shore asking us for something either. We can get so enamored in our own lives that the last thing we're thinking about is helping some crazy old guy that's calling his children, asking for food when he wasn't out here working all night, and get a boat, put in the work, and maybe you'll get some fish for yourself, old timer. At least that's what we think when we don't know it's Jesus. But when Jesus asks for something, it's always for a reason. And disciples, listen. So when this stranger, emphasis on strange at this point, tells Peter, a professional fisherman, and the sons of Zebedee, again, who are in the boat, professional fishermen, just cast your net on the right side of the boat. Sure, just cast your net on the right side of the boat and you're going to get some fish. Fishing's just that easy, right? Still not knowing that it was Jesus, they amused this bystander and tossed the nets into the right side of the boat. The stranger who can't see what's in the water from where he is on shore, there's no way, who hasn't been working all night, who may or may not even be a fisherman himself, they just called them children, tells them, just cast the net on the right side of the boat and there will be fish there. You have to wonder, at least I do, did they just throw this in there to prove the guy wrong? Sure, old timer. We'll just throw the net over here because it's just that easy. But when they cast their nets, maybe if nothing happens, we can tell this old guy to just leave us alone. But then something happened. All of a sudden, there's fish in the net. It's actually kind of heavy, like abnormally heavy. This final casting of the net actually netted some fish, and it feels like it could be a pretty good haul here. As a matter of fact, it was better than they initially thought, and they couldn't even draw it into the boat because there were so many fish that it was just too heavy. These children in the boat couldn't even pull the fish into the boat. John tells us that it was a multitude of fish, and this wasn't just a good catch, this was a monumental catch. There are all kinds of fishing days. There are days when you don't even get a bite. There are just some days that's how fishing goes. There are days when you get a couple little guys. There are days when you get one nice one and a couple little guys. You know, there's those days. And there's some days you catch several nice fish. But then there's certain days, if you fish often, that you're going to have a legendary day and you're never going to forget that day. This was the fishing day they would never forget. I had one of those days. One time I canoed a 5-mile stretch and lived in Virginia in the James River. 5 miles, that was it. And caught 100 fish in one day. 5 miles, that was it. Matter of fact, 2 different times at 5 casts, I caught 5 fish. Like, it was just one of those days. It was magical. And you know what? I still love telling that story. I tell it every chance I get. Because it was that good. Like, that's where these guys are at. They had this miraculous amount of fish because they listened to some guy on the bank tell them, just try it on the right side of the boat. Sometimes listening to Jesus isn't as easy as seeing a burning bush. Sometimes His voice seems more like a distant voice from the shoreline. But when you listen to it, there just might be something bigger in store that's there for you. Now, understand, that's assuming we're not talking about it's not advising you to do anything immoral or contrary to Scripture, but maybe you try it and you see what happens. And maybe there's a miracle waiting for you just under the surface. But be careful, because not all ideas are of the Lord. Not every stranger on the bank is Jesus. But when you're congregating with other believers and you're all in agreement, this is okay, this is a good thing, this is worth the effort, see what happens. Just be ready, because you don't want to get yanked out of the boat because the fish are so heavy under the water. Always be ready for Jesus, because Jesus shows up at random times. And here's the really cool part. Jesus blesses those that obey. He blesses those that obey. So we see in 7 through 11, Peter goes directly to Jesus when he finds this out, right? As Jesus is most likely chuckling to himself at what they're experiencing and thinking, John turns to Peter and blurts out, "It's the Lord!" Yeah, who else can do that? It's not like this is the first time that this happened with them, right? If we look all the way back in the very beginning of Jesus' time with the disciples, go back to Luke 5, 4 through 9, we see a similar situation. When he had stopped speaking, Jesus, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch." Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that it began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner, man. I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. That was round one. Now we're in the middle of round two. John was the first to figure it out. At least he's the first to say it. It's the Lord. There's such a cool response. Peter's eyes probably pop wide open. He grabs his outer garment that he's tossed aside to work and jumps into the sea. He is swimming back to the shore because he wants to get to Jesus. That's how I want to respond to Jesus, right there. I would hope that I would ditch the fish and just jump in and start swimming to Jesus as fast as I can. Who cares about my wallet? Who cares about my cell phone? If Jesus is on the shoreline, that's where I want to be. Fortunately for us, He's omnipresent, so we don't have to do it that way. But sometimes the things that keep us from Jesus seem so silly when we look back at them, don't they? Maybe we wanted to hold on to a friendship, and that's why we weren't willing to fully submit to His Lordship. Maybe there's a bad habit that we're just not willing to give up. Some other quest or fame or fortune that we know that if we follow Jesus, He's going to tell us to leave these things behind. Because sometimes the desire for that, what we think we want, are nothing but distractions. Sometimes we stop and look back at them later in life, we realize, why did I hold on to that? But Peter's response is golden, man. I am going to see Jesus. Leave it all behind, jump in the water, do whatever you need to do to get to Jesus as fast as you can. And Peter saw Jesus prior to this, but the interactions after the resurrection are limited. Peter had denied Jesus and is making up for lost time, but Peter, he obviously believes. He's obviously committed. He's clearly wanting to restore his relationship with Jesus. Peter longs to be in Jesus' presence at this point, no matter the cost. And that, my friends, is a great lesson for all of us. See, Jesus provides for the disciples as well. As the rest of the disciples try to pull in the net, they decide to just drag it back to the shore. And Jesus has just provided for them in a monumental way. Now we learn that they weren't even far from the shore. They were only about 200 cubits, or in their day they measured cubits by your forearm. So about 200 forearms out into the water. And John also tells us that the boat they were in was little. Perhaps part of the reason they dragged the fish in, because it's already a small boat full of men and you fill it with fish, it may have been too heavy, might have started to sink it. So maybe that's why they just drug it back in as well. They're not leaving the net behind, though. They bring the whole thing right up to the shore. Think about this for a moment. They weren't asking Jesus for anything. They didn't pray all night for God to deliver a legendary catch. They were just fishing where Jesus showed up. And Jesus initiated this miracle. That's the fun part of being around Jesus. The extraordinary just happened. If we choose to live our lives distant from Him, not seeking Him, not knowing His Word, then we don't put ourselves in position to experience these same blessings that we have by just being around Him and congregating with other believers. Part of the experience is congregating to worship Him, serving together, living in obedience to His Word with others. Living in community with the body of Christ is important. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. How we live our lives affects one another. We're told that as Christians, we're part of the body of Christ. And when the hand sins, it affects the ear. When the lips praise God, it affects the feet. We are meant to live as one, and that means that we can bless our body together, or we can bring harm to our body together. But we need to pick ourselves up when we do mess up and continue to gently restore and help one another. And as we heal together, we continue to grow closer together. Being part of the body of Christ is one of the greatest blessings we can know in this world, because it's a small taste of the communion that we will have with God and other believers in eternity. Don't neglect this part of your life. You're here. That's good. But it goes deeper than that. Don't just attend church. Be the church. See, when they finally get back to the shore, Jesus already had breakfast cooking. Jesus asked them if they caught anything, but He already had fish. He already had bread on the fire. Apparently fish sandwiches are a popular breakfast food in Israel. I don't know, it's a little strong for me for breakfast, but whatever, you know. But Jesus wasn't asking because He needed something to eat. So why did Jesus ask? Let's continue. Disciples also get to see abundance. Right place, right time, but it's more than just luck. This was Jesus again declaring who He is. And by telling them how to fish and where to fish, He makes a pretty bold statement. Since Peter is already on shore, he grabs a net that they got it close to the shore, and he starts heaving it up on the land. It wasn't just a net with some fish. John goes into a lot of description. I think John was kind of excited about this. He said it was a net full of large fish. The fishermen in this room probably caught that. They were large fish, right? Because it's fun to tell stories about large fish. I can still remember the biggest fish I ever caught in my life. I was in a little farm pond, and my rod just all of a sudden bent over and started zinging. Like, what in the world? And this is a pond. Generally, when you caught something, it was a sunny. It was maybe a bass, just nothing too special. But something. There was occasional catfish in there that would put a good little pull on you every now and then. But something was different on the end this time. And I started reeling, and it would start zinging again and just running, and I'd bring her back in, and it'd take off again. I had this little farmer pond, smaller than the room of the church here. I pulled in a 31.5-inch carp. Still don't know how it ended up in there. Somebody put it there. But I got to tell you, another story I like to tell, you know? Legendary. We remember when we catch big fish. Donnie, do you remember times you caught big fish? Yeah, like you remember when you catch a big fish. I was fishing at Firm's house one time, and there was a big fish under the tree. That thing just would not bite. It drove me nuts, and I fished and fished for him. Would not bite, but I wanted to. Something about catching big fish, right? And that's part of the story. Like, they didn't just catch a net full of fish. These weren't little guppies. They caught a net full of large fish. Jesus promised disciples that He offers an abundant life. Not that He guarantees monster fish every time you go out, but it is a promise of a more purposeful life. A life filled with meaning. A life filled with eternal significance. A life that when you look back on what you have done with it, you can hold your head high. Because you used it to serve Jesus by serving others. Don't misunderstand me. The world might look at your life and not see anything praiseworthy. But if you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, it's worthy of God's rewards in heaven. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to see abundance. Not in this world. Not money, not fame, not fortune, but the abundance and the meaningfulness of life, because Jesus blesses the disciples that obey. Always be ready for Jesus, because He shows up at random times. Jesus blesses those that obey, and Jesus, He is known to those who believe. See, the disciples, they know Jesus. As they get back to the shore, probably tired from the night's work as well as the struggle to secure 153 fish, Jesus urges them to get something to eat. Time when they saw Jesus, they knew who it was. No one even dared. It says right in the text, no one even dared to ask, "Who are you?" Because they knew. And I hope that when you think about your relationship with Jesus, I hope you can confidently think, I know. I know Jesus. The best way to know is to spend time reading God's Word every day, talking to Him, listen to Him by doing what the Word of God commands. It's in the obedience that we find God's richest blessings. But if you don't know Him, you will wander around trying to figure out what it is that He wants. The first step is knowing Him. The disciples had already spent countless hours with Jesus. And they knew how He worked. So when Jesus shows up on the shoreline and recreates a miracle that many of them have seen before, they don't have to wonder who He is. They just know that it's Him. The doubts they had in the past have been washed away. Their confidence in the Lord after seeing His resurrection and all the training He did with them, they knew. And we saw this word all through the book of John, right? They had to believe. And what did we say that word believe meant? Gnosko. It meant that you believe so much, that you are so convinced of something that you know it to be true, and it affects the decisions that you make regarding it. Sounds like they knew, right? To believe, to know. They believed to the point that they knew. They didn't just think it was Jesus their Lord. They knew that Jesus was their Lord. There was nobody that was ever going to be worthy of the allegiance of what they had to Him. As we sort through this life and figure out our faith, what we actually believe versus what we're told to believe, we need to get to the point that we know Jesus. Seek Him, and He promises, seek, and you will find. See, Jesus fed the disciples too. Jesus served them with their fish sandwiches, or maybe He called them fish tacos, I don't know, but Jesus, their Lord, the person they just professed as their Lord, is serving them. At a time when it feels like they should just be bowing down and worshiping Him for what they just saw, Jesus feeds them breakfast. One more testament to the type of leadership that Jesus offers. Jesus came to serve. As He sends us out, He calls us to serve. We even get bonus points when we serve the least of these, the people that can never pay us back. Had Jesus not come to serve us through His death on the cross, we would have no hope of salvation. We would be condemned to death in our own sins. So when Jesus asks us to serve others, He's not asking that much. Some are called to be martyrs. But most of us here in America don't really have to worry about that. We need to worry more about loving our neighbors than we do facing a firing squad. But the reality is that if we're not willing to love our neighbors, there's probably not much of a chance of us ever dying for our faith anyway. Jesus summed up the whole law in two very simple phrases. Love God, which was most important. But He added on, the second is very similar. Love people. I have a painting my family did for me for Father's Day a couple years ago hanging in my office. And it simply says, love God, love people. If we can wrap those two things up, may we wrap up the whole law. While out west, we sat through a Lakota Indian lesson and who are part of the Sioux Nation, and although part of the story of how evil came into the world, pretty distorted, they believe that the Great Spirit, that one Great Spirit, created all things, which makes us related and interdependent upon one another. They relied heavily, of course, on the buffalo to survive, but respected it because it was created by the same Great Spirit. And if their view of creation was that great for a wild beast, how much more should our love be for one another who are created in the image of God, bearing a soul, having the capability of loving. Our love for others should inspire compassion and care, honest concern for the well-being of those around us. Few people get argued into knowing Jesus, but many have been loved into knowing Jesus. Jesus presented Himself three times. This is the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples. This time they weren't locked in a room, they were going about life, and Jesus just kind of showed up. Keep in mind that when Jesus came back to life, He didn't spend the next 40 days walking and talking constantly with the disciples. They needed to learn to adapt to life without the physical Jesus by them, not being by their side every moment of the day. They're about to transition to living by the leading of the Holy Spirit rather than the following of the physical Holy Son of God. And Jesus showed up and taught them and what they needed as we progress through this chapter, some very important lessons that are about to conclude. Peter needs to know that Jesus forgives him. Has to happen. This is my favorite visit of Jesus' post-resurrection because of the conversation that ensues here, which if you want to hear, you got to come back next week. Sorry, we're not going to get through that one today. It's going to take me some time. Or if you don't make it, you can always listen to it online later. But the first time Jesus presented himself, they were locked in a room, and of course Thomas wasn't there. And then Jesus returned, and Thomas was in the room, and Thomas responded immediately, "My Lord and my God." This time, just telling them to toss the net on the right side is all it took for John to be like, "It's the Lord," and Peter just jumps in the water to get back to Jesus. And this time, they knew it was Jesus. Next time you feel you're in a spiritual drought and Jesus just seems distant, just know that He's there. He's not far. He may have something He's trying to teach you, but He's there somewhere. And you need to be ready at all times for Jesus, because you never know when He's going to call on you to test you, maybe to challenge you. Maybe if you're lucky, just to make you a fish sandwich. But when He shows up, make sure that you know it's Him. You carry the responsibility of drawing near to Him. This Word of God says that draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We need to know Him well enough through Scripture that when He shows up, we know who it is. Always be ready for Jesus. If you would, bow your heads for just a moment. If you're here today, say, "Pastor, I know Jesus. And if I were to die today, I would spend eternity with Him." If that's you today as a testimony, just slip your hand up. If you're here today and say, "Pastor, I don't think I can say that. I can't say that I know Jesus. But I'd like to hear more about that another time." If that's you, just slip up your hand so we could talk later. If you're here today and you feel like you've been in a spiritual drought and just feels like Jesus is distant, I can pray for you. Just slip your hand up. If you're here today and you just need help obeying, because you know that Jesus blesses those that obey, but you've had trouble obeying recently. Or there's something He's called you to do and you've just been unwilling. If I can pray for you about that, would you slip your hand up? Or maybe you're here and you just refuse to believe. There's someone here that's just refused to believe. And I can pray for you. Would you slip up your hand? Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for Your love and Your graciousness to us. We need You. We need You desperately. We need You just like Peter did, like jump in the water and leave it all behind to get to You. We need You. But we also know that as we look at Your Scripture, that we see that You were eager to bless Your disciples. You were eager to serve them. And Lord, that teaches us that You want us to bless us and serve us as well. Father, I ask that You would help us to always be ready for You. Help us to know that You may not always show up when we want You to at the time or the place, but help us to know deep in our hearts that You are there. And if You haven't put Yourself in a position where we feel You or sense You or whatever at that very moment, that You're still close by. Father, I ask You help us to obey so that we can experience Your blessings. Because there's great blessing just in obeying. Not even the rewards afterward, but just by just obeying and knowing You more. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to serve You. And I ask that You help us to truly believe, to believe with all of our hearts. And Father, we don't know when this day is, but someday Your Son promises He will come back. Lord, help us to be ready for that day by trusting in Him now. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.